It's good to be back, and I hope you have an expectation for the year. I really have an expectation. I was amazed just over the holidays, just how the Lord was speaking to me, and different people sent me words of what God wants to do during this year. And so it was really great just to get an idea from the Lord what He wants to do this year. And so I want to share with you this morning, if you see my picture there, going full throttle. Actually, a series about Awake. And I'll share a little bit about introduction this morning, just about the series I'm wanting to do. And just really encourage you for this year. I want to use a chair in a moment. Have you ever thought about gravity? We don't think about it a lot, do we? Unless you probably fall and you hurt yourself. The law of gravity. You see, it's a force that's working in upon each and every one of us. Every moment of the day, it's completely pervasive all across the world. Gravity is working in upon us. So if I lift the chair, if I leave it, then it's probably going to fall. Okay, you get the idea. This is profound. I've been working 6 months on this. It's actually very hard to drop it correctly. But gravity, okay, the idea, the point I'm trying to make is that every physical thing on the face of this earth, there's a force working in upon it. And spiritually speaking as well, there's a force working in upon each and every one of us. We're not always aware of it, but it is working. It's affecting us on one level or another. It's called the spirit of the world. Just as gravity affects each and every one of us every day, every moment of the day, so there's another force affecting us. It's called the spirit of the world, also called the law of sin and death. It's always working on us. It's always affecting us. And so this morning, I want to make you aware of that. And I want to give you a few keys of how to break free from it. It's probably the biggest challenge for us as believers, is this force, and it's like gravity. And it's very much the same, like a few hundred years ago, people would have said, man is not made to fly. And so as time has passed, we've actually put a few people on the moon, and man has actually been flying. And when it comes to our challenges in terms of sin, or this force of the world, this law of the world that's pulling at us the whole time, it's, I don't know, sometimes you feel as a Christian, how am I ever going to break out of this thing? How am I going to break free from the world? How am I going to break free from this thing? I'm sure you've experienced it. It's like, you come to the Lord, you become a Christian, you give your heart to God, and then suddenly you don't want to do the old stuff you've always done. You actually want to be new, be different. You know, you want to do good stuff. You want to be holy. You don't want to do the old stuff. Have you experienced how hard it is to not do the old stuff? I'm sure you have. You know, when I became a believer, I was 18 years old, and I was steeped in the world and lots of stuff in the world, and I came to know the Lord. And I remember when I came, the evening I gave my life to Jesus, I responded to an altar call at a church service, and I came forward, and afterwards I was sitting in a chair, and I was depressed, morbidly depressed. I was looking at all these people, I'm thinking, they're so holy, and I don't know how I'm going to do this. How will I be able to do this? And so I got the shock of my life when I became a Christian. I met face to face a force that is continuously working in upon me. and you. Every moment of every day, there's a force working in upon us. It's called the law of sin and death. It's called the spirit of this world, and it's wanting to pull us back into our old ways. And so this is a challenge. This is a challenge for us. So how do we overcome that thing? I mean, even as I was preparing this, I was thinking, God, I don't know what to tell them. It's hard. It's hard to break free from the world. It's just so pervasive. It's so overwhelming, just like gravity. But I want to give you some hope this morning. Question for you. What drives you? What is your mission for this year? What's driving you in your life? What motivates you? You see, the spirit of the world, when that thing is working in upon us, it influences us. And on Christmas service, I shared a bit about it. It causes us to be focused on the tangible things, physical stuff, and not on the intangibles. What does it mean? It's like when the spirit of the world is ministering to us, we might think, if I just have a beautiful house, I'm going to be happy. And so you get your beautiful house and you're still miserably depressed. Could be, maybe you are, maybe you're not. The key is peace, and that's what I shared on Christmas Day. You can have a small house, you can be renting a house, you can have no house, but you can have peace. And you'll be better off than a person with a huge, beautiful, wonderful house, but they are depressed and they have no peace. And what I shared was that it's the intangibles of life that adds value to the tangible things of life. It's not the tangible things that gives us peace or joy or happiness. It's the intangible things. And so the spirit of the world is pulling us to pursue stuff. The spirit of God will cause us to pursue the intangibles, peace and joy and love. In the same way, the spirit of the world will come to you and me and cause us to be focused on the external, not on the internal. How much time do you and I spend on washing our hair, clothes, in front of the mirror, makeup, shopping? How much time do you and I spend wondering, what are people thinking about me? And what image am I presenting? Am I looking good? Am I looking pretty? How much time do we spend on those external things? That's the spirit of the world pulling us to be obsessed with those things. Obsessed with the external and obsessed with stuff. Spirit of the world. But the Spirit of Christ will come and reveal us to what is truly valuable, what is truly life-changing, and what truly brings fulfillment. But that Spirit of the world, it's like gravity. It's continuously pulling us. It's continuously trying to persuade us to be focused on the external, to be focused on tangible stuff, physical stuff. The real question would be, how do I look on the inside? How do I look on the inside? That's the real question. That's the real issue. You see, our default as mankind, our sleepwalking mode is spirit of the world. To be worldly minded, worldly pursuits, that's default. You don't even have to try. Would you agree? You don't have to try. It's like, yes, we go that way, just naturally. But there is a higher way. There is a better way. This is the place where we find true peace and rest for our souls and true fulfillment on this side. Let me read to you Psalm 17:15. This is sort of my key scripture for this series. And I was reading through the Psalms and this just jumped out. It just so spoke to me. Verse 15 says, "As for me," the psalmist says, "as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. And if you read the previous verses, it speaks that he was talking about the other people, and they pursuing earthly things. But he says, but as for me, I'm pursuing something high. I'm driven by something else. I'm driven by God. I want to see your face. I want to know you, and I want to become like you. I want to know you, and I want to become like you. And it's literally like an awakening. You see, default mode is we're just going through the motions, just like all the other people in the world, pursuing stuff, focused on the external, worried about what people think about us, worried about money, worried about stuff. But God actually, through his word, he leads us this higher way. And I so want to encourage us to pursue this higher way, to awake to a higher way, to pursue the intangibles of life. And not be focused on the external, but on the internal. God, what do I look like on the inside? God, what are you seeing? How often do you look in the mirror? 3 times a day. Some of our guys might walk past the mirror. Yes. Yay, yes. How much time do we spend on the externals when the real question is, Lord, how am I on the inside? What do I look like? That's what it says, likeness. I will awake in your likeness, not an external likeness, an internal likeness. I will look like you. I will be like you. So the psalmist is saying, I am driven by something else. Other people pursue the world and earthly things. I pursue him and to become like him. And I really felt that in the next few months, we're going to be focusing on this. Becoming more like Christ. Becoming more like Christ. This is what God wants to do in us. And so we'll be speaking around that, about that. And so this looking on the inside. You know, we often focus on our external atmosphere. You know, want peace outside. The real question is to have peace inside. Internal atmosphere. I'm going to be speaking that in the weeks to come as well. Internal atmosphere. Internal atmosphere. You and me, we want to become carriers you want to become a place where heaven is on the inside, where Christ reigns on the inside. It's a heavenly atmosphere on the inside. Your internal atmosphere. Internal atmosphere. And we're going to be working through the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. And the Beatitudes are sort of the attitudes of the Spirit. Why are they so important? Because it reveals to us what our internal atmosphere should be like. It reveals to us different aspects of who Christ is. It reveals to us what the Holy Spirit is revealing compared to the spirit of the world. It is directly contrasted to the spirit of the world. The Beatitudes, Matthew 5, is 9 Beatitudes. It contrasts. You can go read it and say, well, the world doesn't operate like that. No, that's how the kingdom of God operates. It's completely different to how the world would operate. And so I just want to read this one verse for today. Matthew 5, verse 6, our Beatitude for the day. Blessed are those, blessed, happy, to be envied, spiritually prosperous, of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. So it gives us a key here. If you want to be filled with heaven, if you want to be filled with God, if you want to be filled with all the riches, the treasures of heaven, all those things that you and I are pursuing, every person on the face of this earth, they're pursuing peace, they're pursuing joy, they're seeking it, but they're not finding it because they're looking in the wrong places. But when it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be completely satisfied. You see, we have an epidemic in the church of the living God that we are pursuing just like the rest of the world, the same stuff. And we lack peace and we lack joy and we're frustrated and we are unhappy because we are pursuing just as the rest of the world is pursuing. But there is no peace there. And so we have to make up our minds. You have to know that you know that you know that a 46-inch TV will not give you peace. I bought it. I tried it this holiday. It's nice. It's beautiful. But it doesn't give me peace. It doesn't give me peace. God gives me peace. And so we have to ask ourselves, what motivates us? What's driving us? Because you could find yourself driven down this road, the world, this road of the world, and you can just find dead end over and over again. Or you can be completely satisfied when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst is like it's an overwhelming desire. It's like overwhelming. Anybody not eaten for a few days? You get hungry. Not that, you know, you're exercising or you have not been drinking water for a day. You're in the Sahara Desert for trekking for 8 hours. You don't have a drop of water. Will you be thirsty? Will you first go watch a TV show before you drink some water? No, you're gonna dive into that swimming pool. You're going to stick your head in. It can be maggots in that thing. Or you're going to want water. I want water. I'm not even going to be dignified about this. I want water. Because everything in me is crying out for this. Everything. That's hunger and thirst. That's hunger and thirst. You see, I've been observing, and as I look at Scripture as well, you cannot serve God half-heartedly. It's impossible. You cannot. I've watched people over the years, people were passionate about God, on fire for God, and then over time they would try to do both. I want Jesus, because I want to go to heaven, and he makes me feel good, but I want that other stuff as well. And so they become divided in their hearts, divided in their focus. They try to be more balanced. They backslide. They become frustrated. They lose that fulfillment that only God can give, because you cannot serve God half-heartedly. You cannot. It's not possible. And that's why we find this, I'd say, a mixture in the kingdom of God or in the church of the living God. We find mixtures of people at different levels. And many Christians are not experiencing the fullness of God because they've not made up their minds that God, I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to hunger and thirst to be in right standing with you, but also to become like you. Because when we become like him, then we're in that right standing with him. So, that internal atmosphere, hunger and thirst, it qualifies us for more of him. And I have a word from the Lord, I have a few words from God, that he wants to pour out so much of him in us and in this church. An outpouring of him, of his spirit. But I realize we cannot contain it if we're not like him. We cannot contain it if we're not meek, if we're not merciful, if we're not Christ-like. We cannot contain it if we're selfish. And so there's a Christ-likeness that God wants to work in us. But it needs to start off with full throttle. It needs to start off where you make up your mind and you decide, this year, I'm going to go for God with everything within me. With everything within me. With everything within me. It will transform you. As I said, man was not made to fly. That's what's been said. And so for many of us, it feels like when it comes to the world and when it comes to sin, you feel like that. It's just, it's impossible. You cannot be free from this force of the world pulling us back the whole time, getting us into sin or distractions or selfishness or all those things. I want to show you a video clip about a rocket launch. A shuttle rocket launch. 14, 13, 12, 11, 10.
Ignition sequence start. The engine go on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Sideways shaking was unbelievable. The vibration was so intense you couldn't see the instrument panel. I thought we'd had it during the launch. I was hoping that Frank Borman didn't have his hand on the abort controller. He said he took his hand off and he'd rather die than make a false abort.
1 minute after liftoff, Saturn V is already supersonic.
Well, the Saturn V is still the most powerful machine that man has ever devised. 20 tons of fuel a second, 7.5 million pounds of thrust. I think we were all surprised at how strong that thing was. It had had two or three iffy missions before ours, but it was a piece of cake. It just worked beautifully. Unbelievable.
In the first stage, blast the Saturn V to 7 times the speed of sound.
The second stage cut in. Big bang.
At 40 miles high, it's still accelerating.
When you staged, you were throwing forward in the belts and then backward in the belts.
And I thought I was being catapulted through the instrument panel.
All sources show that the stage is burning perfectly.
The third stage fires twice. First, the boost into orbit. The second burn takes the crew of Apollo 8 where no men have ever been.
14, 13, 12. I would love to drive one of them one day, or maybe not. That rocket is sort of a parable I want to hold, a metaphor that I want to hold before us. If they tried to lift off at 50% thrust, they would not have gotten away. That thing will just fall back to the earth. And I want to use it as a parable for us in terms of our serving of God. You know, the world and the force of the world. If you and I want to break free from the world, the only way is to go full throttle, to go with everything within us. With everything within us. There's a... I'll get to it in the weeks to come as well, but God can only transform you and me into His image when we are free from the world. In a sense, soaring above the earth. If you want to use the example of an eagle flying above the earth. The only way the power of God can work in us effectively is when we are free from the world. If you and I are so entangled in the world, we're like eagles on the ground, just messing around in the mud, and you cannot be transformed into the image of Christ. You cannot awake in His likeness, and you cannot know fulfillment and peace. The only way is if we completely break free and fly away. And just there's lots of fire there. And that fire for me just represents the power of God, the power of God's Holy Spirit that comes and empowers us to do that, to break free. You cannot do it in your own ability, only through God. Romans 8 verse 2 speaks of this, of the two different laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life, like those thrusters, those boosters. It's a Holy Spirit fire. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Another example would be an aeroplane. When the aeroplane's on the ground, gravity has control. But when it lifts off, there's another law that kicks in. The law of aerodynamics. And some other laws as well. And then you fly. And so that's what this law speaks of. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So it is possible for us to break free from the world and to soar above the earth, above the pool of the world, so that God can transform us and change us. You cannot serve God half-heartedly. You cannot serve God half-heartedly. If that rockets were at 50%, they would just fall back. You cannot serve God half-heartedly. When we are free from the world, then we are free to awaken His likeness. Then we are free to awaken His likeness. So we need Holy Spirit fire power. There's a greater force made available to us so that we can break free from the world, and it's called God's Holy Spirit. Jesus went to the cross and He overcame the world, and He released His Holy Spirit so that you and I can break free from the world. But you can only break free if you do it wholeheartedly. Hunger and thirst, and God will make available to you. Trying to do both, you're not going to be filled. You're not going to have that fullness. 1 John 2:15-17 speaks about this world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. It's probably most Christians' favorite scripture. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So it says, it's not saying, do not have stuff. It's not saying that. It's also not saying, don't be in the world. I think many people have probably used that scripture over the ages, and they become a monk, and they go live on a hill or a mountain where they don't see anybody for 50 years. I do not love the world. That's not what it's saying. And then they make a vow of poverty. I will have no stuff. That's also not what it's saying. It's saying do not love. Do not be obsessed with. Do not be attached to. Because if you get attached, it removes some of that fire in your thrusters. And then you can't get free. You can't let go. You can't break free into the presence of God. You will just fall back the whole time. Do not love the stuff. Naima's saying, now how the hell do you do that? I'm allowed to talk about hell in church, so it's okay. Well, a few suggestions of how to break free from these things that pull us back. One way would be give. Give some of your stuff away. Give some more, and then give some more. Give. It's a powerful tool. When you give of your stuff away, you break that attachment. You break that attachment. So give. Bless somebody. Give. Another area would be to fast. We're going to be fasting a few days. Fast from food. Good idea sometimes to do that. Other fast. Fast from things that become too important for you. It's things that fill your mind. It's just overwhelming. It happens to me sometimes. I spend some time with the Lord, and I'm praying, and then I just see Spider-Man. What are you doing there? I'm trying to spend time with Jesus. It happened over the holidays. Spider-Man, go away. You see, sometimes if you evaluate your internal atmosphere, you can see what are the stuff that's too important to me. You can evaluate what things am I obsessed about. What things are bringing distractions in my time with the Lord or in my daily walk. Well, then sometimes you have to say, okay, I'm going to drop that for a while. If you just can't stay away from the shops, just drop the shops for a month. Send your husband to go shopping. And I'm sorry, you're not allowed to fast from your work. You still must go to work. I know it might be filling some of our minds on a daily basis, but you must still faithfully go to work. But have some boundaries at work. Don't take your work home. Work can be a problem. You need to actually manage your work. That doesn't fill you so much that there's just no passion left for God. You cannot serve God half-heartedly. You cannot. It is not possible. That scripture says the world is passing away. The tangibles of life are temporary and they don't fulfill. I must say that another 50 times. The tangibles of this world are temporary and they do not fulfill. The spirit of the world will tell you they do, but they don't. The world is passing away. And so when we get attached to the world, we pass away as well. We backslide. We fall back. We fall away. And I believe this is probably our biggest challenge. In Western society, with all the most beautiful stuff that we have, I've said this before, but in the history of the world, we've never had as many beautiful, pretty, shiny, blinky, HD stuff. And so for a Western Christian who's not under persecution, who's not being forced to focus, you need to choose to focus. You need to make up your mind. You need to decide, I want the fullness of God. I want to be like Him. And so just two things for this year that I want to highlight. The one area is to just focus on the world and say, I'm less of the world, less of the world. Another area to focus is, I want to nurture my love for God. It's like those boosters. I mean, when there's a holy passion, love, passionate love for God, then everything else just fades. Anybody been in love ever? It's like there's nobody else alive on the earth. Because I'm in love. And that passionate love just overwhelms you. It sort of filters everything else out. And then you just want this one thing, the object of your love. So the one thing is nurture your love for God. Make time for Him. Nurture your love for God. Our love for God should burn like those boosters, this fiery flame. And then the second thing. So one is love God more, nurture your love for God. Second thing is get a mission. Get a mission. Passive Christianity has never helped. The only way you can break out of passivity is if you get a mission. You have a cause. You have a reason. I have a daily reason to get up and seek God because I know lives depend upon it. And the Lord has given me so many pictures, so many promises of what He wants to do. So I have a mission and it's motivating me to cut out the world, cut out rubbish and to go for Him. If you don't have a mission, you will not have the motivation to break free. You will just go back to sleepwalk mode. You know, the guys had a mission when they went to the moon. They want to put somebody on the moon. So they spent a huge amount of money, huge amount of effort they took to get somebody on the moon because they had a mission. Same way for us. If you have a mission, you will do what it takes. You will do what it takes. Get a mission this year. My mission is to know Him and to become like Him. Get a mission. You need to be full throttle to break free from the world. You cannot when you are half-hearted. There's no such thing as half-hearted Christianity. The Bible just calls it being lukewarm, double-minded, even an enemy of Christ, and those type of Christians backslide. Okay, just to end off with, just quickly want to touch on how do you get full throttle. One is nurture your love for God. Secondly, get a mission. Thirdly, fast. Fast. One of the most powerful tools that the Lord has given us to break free from the world. Why fast? Because it's a powerful tool. And over that weekend where we're going to be worshiping, the 25th to the 27th of January, it's a choice you and I make to say, God, I'm going to pursue the intangible, your face, and I'm going to pursue the internal, because I want you to do a miracle on the inside of me. Fast. Why fast? Luke 11 verse 9. Just ending off with this. The scripture says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. This sort of is an outflow of I hunger and I thirst for righteousness. And so I ask, I seek, I knock. And I've just had heard this voice of God whispering to my heart the last while. I felt God telling me, you pray. You pray, meaning me, and agree with me. I felt God saying, agree with me. You pray and you agree with me. You see, God, who is in heaven, is looking for people on the earth who would agree with him so that his kingdom can come, so that his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is agreement? Is it saying amen? Well, that might be part of it, saying amen, but it's much more than that. Agreement, I believe, with God is when our internal atmosphere agrees with a heavenly atmosphere. When our insides are Christ-like here and here, when it's Christ-like, when Christ starts living on the inside of us, then there's a natural agreement happening with the living God. And then God says, now things will start happening. The Bible says, where two agree on anything in my name, it shall be done for them. And fasting helps us to shift that internal atmosphere. Fasting helps us to break free from the world. Fasting helps us to position ourselves in a place where the Spirit of God can work in us. And say, okay, God, well, can't do anything else now, can I? Can't eat. That's hard. Can't eat. Can't watch TV. I've got nothing to do. Okay, Lord, let's spend some time. So you position yourself in a place where God can work in you and through you. And so what I believe God wants to do, he wants his will, his word, his heart, his passion to live on the inside of you and me. God wants his dream to live on the inside of us, to come alive on the inside of us. Listen to me. God wants agreement. The only way you can get agreement is if his heart, his passion, his word lives on the inside of us, where it becomes our heart, where it becomes our passion. God is sitting in heaven and he's wanting partners. He's looking for partners. And the only way you and I can partner with him is if we choose to say, God, I'm going to serve you wholeheartedly. I'm going to walk away from the world. I'm going to position myself in a place where you can transform me. Christ-likeness. That's God's heart. The ushers can just get us the communion elements. You're going to have communion around this. Bring our hearts before the Lord. Make this decision for you. Each of us needs to make the decision to say, God, I'm going to follow you with everything within me. We have to break free from the spirit of the world so that God's will can live on the inside of us. Just need to take communion elements upstairs as well. Psalm 24, verse 6. It says, "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. There's a generation of people that live in God's presence. There's a generation of people who ascend the hill of the Lord and live in his presence. And they are called the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. May we be such a generation. May we be a people who wholeheartedly follow him. May we be free from the influence of the world. May we know true fulfillment. This is God's heart for us. Jesus went around preaching when he walked on the earth and he started his ministry, and he was declaring to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So he's saying, change your mind, change your way of living. For the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. This is God's heart. I want to declare to you this morning that the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. God is ready. God is saying, I'm going to pour out all my goodness upon you. The kingdom is ready to come. God is just waiting for agreement. He's just waiting for you and me to say, okay, Lord. Okay. Take the step. Help me. Help me, Jesus, to take that step. To seek you with everything within me. To step out and fast for 3 days. To step out and maybe turn the TV off. Step out and maybe lay down something that you're obsessed with, that's keeping you from spending time with God. Get a mission. I guarantee you, if 100 or so people, let's make it 120, if 120 people come in agreement and they choose to seek God with everything within them, then we will transform this city. It's happened in the Bible. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1 and 2. 120 people sold out for God, going full throttle. Saying, God, we surrender. We lay down everything. And we're going to seek you with everything within us. And then the kingdom came. The kingdom came. The kingdom came. So let's close our eyes. Take a moment. Ask yourself, am I trying to serve God half-heartedly? Is my lifestyle showing that I am trying to do it half-heartedly? And then I want to, with all the love of my heart, I want to say that will lead to a dead end, that will lead to frustration. That will lead to unnecessary pain. The only way you can serve the Lord is wholeheartedly. So, Father God, we come before you this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, that you didn't go halfway. We thank you, Jesus, that you didn't give up, give in. But you went all the way to the cross and you died for us. You gave it all. Thank you, Jesus, that you've overcome the world. You've overcome the lusts of this world. You've overcome the lies of this world. You've overcome, Lord, even as our sinful nature, you've overcome it at the cross. And so, Lord, I pray, God, we pray for each and every one of us here this morning for a shift, for a change, for a decision. By the power of your Holy Spirit, by the grace that comes from God, to say, God, I'm finished with half-hearted living. I want the kingdom to come. I want to know you. And I want to become like you. I want to awake. I want to awake. Thank you for your body that was broken for us, Lord. Thank you for your body that was broken for us, Lord. So take a moment and pray in your own words. Speak to God. Make a decision. Are we going to follow the example of Christ? God, may we hunger and thirst for righteousness to know you, to be like you. I feel the Holy Spirit is saying that some of us need to make a commitment or two to lay down something or some things. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would show you if there is an area, there's something that you need to lay down, something that's binding you, keeping you to the world, in the world. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for each one of us. And we pray that you reveal to us where there are chains, things chaining us to this world, keeping us to the ground, keeping us earthly and earthly minded, bound to the spirit of this world. Lord, reveal these chains to us right now and give us the grace to lay it down. And I feel God is saying to someone or to some of us, lay it down. I feel God is saying, if you want to know me, lay it down. Thank you, Lord. By your Spirit, just come and reveal to us. So God, we come to the cross for help. We come to the cross for empowerment. We come to the cross, Lord, for rocket boosters, God, just to the power of your Holy Spirit to set us free. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us for all our sins. Thank you, God, that the worst of the worst of the worst sin you took upon yourself. Thank you, God, that we've never sinned too much or went too far that we cannot come back to you. I feel the Lord is saying, come back. Come back to me. As every eye is closed, if you feel that you need to return to the Lord, would you just raise your hand as a sign to God and say, God, I'm coming back. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. After you've raised it, you can drop it again. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord, for it coming back. Raise their hands. I just want us to pray a prayer together for their sake. So just all of us just repeat this prayer of dedication to God. If you feel comfortable in praying it with me, please pray it with me. To say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that you went all the way. You gave it all so that I can know you. Thank you for your blood that washes away my sin. Lord, this day, 13th of January, 2013, I return to you. I come back. I acknowledge there's no life outside of you. There is no peace outside of Christ. There's no meaning to life outside God. It's only in you. And so I come to you, Lord, today. Help me to follow you. Everything within me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. So Lord, God, we pray for every person in this house, Lord. To nurture their love with you or their love for you by spending time with you. Lord, I pray that you give to each and every person in this house a mission. Something that stirs the passion inside of them. And thank you, God, that you help us to make those quality decisions and to break free from the world. So God, we just commit this year into your hands. We commit the next few months into your hands. And we pray, may we awake in his likeness. May we awake in your likeness. May we awake. Thank you, Lord. Let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name.